Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for tuning in. If you just tuned in, ladies and gentlemen, 1998, when President Clinton was having his difficulties with Monica Lewinsky, I declared my show a Monica free zone. And you didn't, if you wanted to get away from Monica all the time, you could listen to my show. You would never hear anything about it. And this year, I've declared my show an Anna Nicole and a Britney free zone. So if you want to hear anything about either one of those ladies and their travails and all the other stuff, you need to tune in somewhere else, because you're not going to hear about it here. Because we have really cool, really intelligent, very well-informed guests on our show talking about important topics, like our good friend Rich Galen, who is editor of the cyber column Mullings.com. He's a political operative extraordinaire, very smart guy, and in the interest of full disclosure, of the Republican persuasion. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. I'm a little busy now. I'm trying to figure out how to bid on Britney's hair.
No. You're not going to go there. This is a Britney free zone. Holy mackerel. I have never turned the news off so much as I have in the last couple of weeks. But anyway, I promise we're not going to talk about that.
Okay, let's not even talk. That's right. You hit on something that's
destructive. It's what happens.
This is how newspapers, traditional journalism, gets into stories that they otherwise don't want to cover. They talk about how it's being covered by other people. Then they go through the whole backstory.
Right.
So you get to write about Britney Spears without actually having to write about Britney Spears. You say, well, of course, the New York Times covered it this way.
Right. Well, we're not going to cover it here. We have more important things to talk about. One of the things I want to talk about first, Rich, is you're such a great resource for this topic, and that's the Iraqi issue, the issue of the surge that's currently in place in Iraq right now, going on in Iraq right now. We have a new general over there, General Petraeus. We've got feckless debate going on in Congress over the weekend, in the House and the Senate, about what to do about all this. And we've got, in my opinion, politics at its lowest common denominator right now in terms of on both sides of the aisle in a lot of ways. And I'd just like for you to help us as regular folks, but who are also very much interested. Rich, help us sort all this out.
Well, the thing about the surge is, and I kept trying to say this to Republicans, that, look, this is either going to work or it's not going to work. And we're going to know the answer in about, 60 days. So this phony projectile sweat that's been going on, and of course Congress is off this week. God forbid they should have to work, 3 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But they, and then they wasted a week and a half on a non-binding resolution that was specifically designed to further drive a wedge between the president and the American people. Has no effect whatsoever other mm-hmm. than a political effect.
100% politics at a time of war.
And I'll tell you something. There was a series in the Washington Post here Sunday and Monday that has got this town in an uproar. It's about, and this I know has a personal interest to you, about the status of soldiers and Marines mm-hmm. at Walter Reed Army Hospital, not at the hospital proper, mm-hmm. but in the long-term care facilities that surround the hospital, that are nothing, they can be described as nothing better than a tenement which no landlord would be allowed to have people inhabit and pay rent. And that's where they've stuck these kids and just allowed them to just sit there. They're sitting there. They're amputees. They've got head injuries. They're on pain medications, and nobody's there to help them. I'm telling you, this town is upside down now. So I wrote a column about it this morning, but I am no better than the rest of them, because it's exactly 6 miles from my office. And
why is this being allowed to happen?
That's exactly the question.
Why didn't Congress take that up instead of this stupid non-binding resolution?
Exactly. Rather than waving phony flags, proclaiming our undying love for our airmen, soldiers, Marines, and Navy personnel who are in harm's way. All anybody has to do, and I'm as guilty as anybody else, is go 6 miles up the road and take a look at the canal. Now, of course, now it's getting fixed. I mean, they got, you know, now that the Pentagon, you know, the bright, said Pentagon, I mean, they're like, but I mean, politicians are like cockroaches. It's, when somebody finally shines a light on them, they go scurrying for safety.
Sometimes I think you offend cockroaches when you say things like that, Rich.
I apologize.
I'm pretty disgusted right now with a lot of them. I don't call them Democrats and Republicans anymore. I call them the 110th Congress.
I wrote that this morning. This isn't a Republican thing or a Democratic thing. It's all our fault because none of us care. We only care, you know, we care when it's convenient for us to care. But boy, I said when the flags stop flying and the band stop playing, the families have to take care of these people.
That's exactly right. 22. When we come back, I'm going to get Rich to tell us where he thinks things have went wrong and what we got to do to fix what's going on in Iraq and what the stakes are too. 22. Stay with us. Sky, what is love? We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Rich Galen. And by the way, folks, many of you have seen Rich on television. You've seen him all over the place in terms of on Fox News, on CNN. He's all. Only channel I think I haven't seen Rich on is the Water Channel. I don't think I've ever seen you on the Water Channel, have I, Rich?
No, but some people think I'm as exciting as the Fireplace Channel at Christmas time.
Tune in, folks, and you'll see his handsome face. And you hear the name Rich Galen, pay attention because he's going to be the smart one. Maybe not the most handsome one, but the smart one.
Hey.
And Rich, give us your website again, please.
That's Mullings, M as in Mary, ULLINGS.com. Mullings.
Okay. Rich, one of the things I wanted to read something here that was in an article that Martin Peretz wrote. He's the editor in chief of the New Republic, and I'm going to parse a couple combine a couple of quotes here together that make sense. He's making the case, Rich, that this is kind of how we felt when we went into Iraq, and that is that, and this is the quote: all people everywhere yearn for liberty and for a fair state. And so that's the universalism, that's the typical attitude that democratizers have. We believe, and I believe that all people want liberty, they want a fair state. But then he points this out. He says the problem is that this belief, and I'm putting this in the middle, probably nowhere more is this true more than in Iraq. He says the problem is that this belief, which is probably true, is not all we need to know. We needed to know more when we went into Iraq than we did, didn't we, Rich?
Well, the thing about Iraq, one of the things that happens to when America goes, you know, tries to do good works, and I don't care, you know, about WMDs or anything else. Our intentions, based upon what we knew at the time, were pure and good.
Exactly.
That every place isn't like us. I mean, you know, we see the world through American eyes, and the rest of the world sees it through their own eyes. One time, I went to Kuwait to cover their national elections. It was actually just the summer before I ended up in Iraq. And I wrote a column about the fact that democracy there was nothing like what we would consider to be democracy here. Democracy, Kuwait, I think, had 2.1 million inhabitants, of which 123,000 were allowed to vote. They had to be white, or not white, they had to be males over the age of 21 whose families had lived in Kuwait since 1922. They were the only ones qualified to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And they considered, they were perfectly happy. They all went. They had real live campaigns. But it was certainly not a democracy that we would consider to be a democracy. Now they have. Now women can vote there. But the problem that we always get into is that we think we've got this democracy thing figured out, and to a great degree we do. It's got its ups and downs, but
well, the key is.
But for a lot of people, there, you know, I mean, democracy is not going to work in Russia. They need a strong man.
Yeah. Well, a general a while back said, you know, that we've got to get these, you know, these people are not going to be able to save themselves until they love their children more than they hate someone else.
Well, I'm not sure I would have put it quite that way. I think that the issue in Iraq, as I've followed it over these last 3 or 4 years, has been this, that the I mean, I think it's much more technical than that. The in America and in Britain, for that matter, the reason that terrorists have a difficult time getting anything going here is because somebody hears about it and they tell somebody, and the FBI gets involved and they clamp down them, they arrest the guys and drag their butts to Guantanamo, which is fine with me, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But in Iraq, the problem in Iraq will get solved when Iraqis feel comfortable enough about their whatever the equivalent of their FBI or their police force or their army.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they hear that Abdullah is going to go blow up a marketplace, that they tell somebody before Abdullah gets in his truck,
right.
and they stop Abdullah. Now, they're never going to tell Americans that. It's just
right.
not going to happen. And what I think Dave Petraeus is trying to get them to is to the point where they feel comfortable enough and confident enough in their own security forces that they start telling that in advance that they've heard something's going to go on, and then they themselves can stop it before it happens.
One of the things that troubles me about what's happening right now, not just in Iraq, but over here in the United States, Rich, is that we had June Reed on the show, one of our, as you know, the person who's on the ground over there with the,
yeah, the
with the embassy.
Single bravest person I know.
One of the, exactly. She's been over there. She's in her third year now, and she reported to us from Baghdad again on Friday, and she was telling us that, you know, that you know what? Yeah, things are bad in Baghdad, but the rest of the country is fine.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, this is like Chicago is going down in, you know, in a fireball, but the rest of the country is okay. So we don't write off America.
No, that's right. And CBS, 60 Minutes had a piece about the Kurdistan on Sunday night, and I mean, even when I was over there, if you had some reason to go up. You know, up north, it was great because you actually could stay in a hotel which had an actual working elevator.
Mm-hmm. What are the stakes?
The stakes are still enormous. I mean, we're talking about an entire region of the world that is either going to be stable and bad people are going to be kept in check, or it will be turned over not just to Shiites and Sunnis fighting each other, but to warlords and, frankly, criminals and tribal chiefs.
But aren't we really looking at an ultimate conflict between Saudi Arabia and Iran?
Well, I'm not sure that the Saudis can pull that off on their own. Because
I know. But, I mean, isn't that going to be where the – I mean, we're talking about – I mean, Iran wants – they want that – they want they want Iraq, don't they?
Well, this is – yeah, they want the oil. This is why in 1991 we stopped short of going into Baghdad. That the Gulf states, Kuwait, Qatar, Bahrain,
yep.
Saudi, and on down the Gulf, they were more fearful of a power vacuum in Iraq into which Iran would flow.
Right,
and that's exactly what's happened.
Right, but we'd been better off, I think, if we'd gone in. We come back. Someone said over the weekend that the next election is going to be the most important since 1980. Next presidential election. I'm going to get Rich to tell us if he agrees with that right after these messages. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Rich Galen. And, Rich, give us your website, please.
It's Mullings.com, Mullings, Mullings.com.
Thrice weekly, folks. That means it comes three times a week, and you'll enjoy it, and I promise
it seems
you.
Like I'm never not writing it.
I know it. It seems like I'm never not getting it, too, Rich, by the way. But you can't beat the price, and go there and check it out and subscribe. And by the way, folks, if you're a Republican, you're going to love it. If you're a Democrat, you're going to want to know what Rich is up to. And so I encourage you to check it out. But I promise you, regardless of your inclination, you'll enjoy the writing. Rich, former Senator Phil Gramm, which is one of my heroes, by the way. I put Phil Gramm and Joseph Lieberman in a very similar area in terms of being courageous politicians and rare in that way.
Yeah. Well,
Phil
that
Gramm,
is right.
Former Senator.
It's an oxymoron, a courageous politician.
Yeah, that's right. Except for when you're talking about those two guys. But former Senator Gramm in the Wall Street Journal yesterday endorsed John McCain for president, and he said this. He said, I believe this is, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, I guess. I believe this is going to be the most important election since 1980, and Rich, I think it's going to be more important than 1980.
Well, remember back in 1980, that was the Carter-Reagan election.
Yep.
Jimmy Carter accused us of being guilty of allowing ourselves to sink into a national malaise.
Right.
We were adrift as a country. We had the hostages in Tehran. It didn't look like there was any way out of the international situation we were in. Does any of this sound familiar?
Oh yeah.
And what Reagan provided, I mean, you didn't have to be a Reagan fan, but I think even his opponents had to admit that he provided a sense of clarity and direction for the nation that the nation clearly wanted. When he ran for re-election, Reagan won 49 out of 50 states.
I call what you just said leadership.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And Carter had none, but where's the leadership going to come from in 08?
Well, you know, I think that's one of the reasons you have these campaigns. I'm opposed to the campaigns being this long, and I'll tell you why. It's because every single thing becomes filtered through what does this mean politically for candidate X or candidate Y. Nobody's allowed to say anything without it being analyzed as to whether it's going to help gain 3 votes in South Carolina. And I think that's dangerous to the system. I think sometimes people just have to be allowed to say, you know what, I think we ought to try this and then see what happens. If it's wrong, we'll go do something else. But unfortunately, with these forever campaigns, that you can't do that. But you know, we have some smart people on both sides. I mean, I'm not a Hillary Clinton fan, but she certainly knows how to do it. She understands the scale and scope of what America is facing. I'm not sure she's got the personal attributes to be able to pull it off. But if she were to become president, I think between she and Bill, they would get good people around him. I'm not so sure about Barack Obama. I don't know that he's got the depth to be able to pull this thing off. On the Republican side, you know, I think Giuliani.
So you think it'll be between those two?
Hillary
and Barack.
I think Edwards is in there too. I think Edwards may actually kind of sort of be the guy to use the Daytona metaphor, the guy that comes off the wall, around the last turn and noses everybody out just because the other two are battling down on the inside. But on the Republican side, I think right now, if you had to bet a quarter, you'd bet on McCain. But I'm not so sure that Huckabee or somebody like that isn't going to pop out and suddenly catch fire.
Well, of course, we look back at Carter and Clinton. Neither one of those guys were even on the radar screen at this stage in either one of their elections.
I mean, you don't have to go back that far. Howard Dean was, who knew who Howard Dean was in February of 2003?
Right.
I mean, probably even in Vermont, where he was governor, they didn't know who the hell he was.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be peaking too soon right now, would you? Almost two years ahead of.
That's right. You have the twin problems. On the one hand, nobody pitches a perfect game for that long. You make mistakes, and those come back to haunt you. So the less time you're in it, the less mistakes you're likely to make.
What do you think about a Clinton-Obama ticket in that order?
That might be okay. I don't think Obama. I think the Obama balloon is going to burst way before that. I think it's more likely.
You think his balloon will burst before he has a chance to be given the vice president ticket?
Yeah. I don't think he's going to last that long. Mm-hmm. I mean, the crucible of national. I mean, I was Dan Quayle's press secretary when he was a senator, and he was held in extraordinarily high regard by his colleagues. I mean, even Democrats. He and Ted Kennedy were excellent friends. But the scrutiny that you undergo when you're at the presidential level, everything that they talked about had been vetted twice in Indiana, but the scale is just so different.
Yeah. Rich Galen, we got a lot more to talk about, and we will over the next several months and years. Thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, my friend. Be well.
Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, that's Mullings.com. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.